Sometimes old Satan whispers, your God will not come through. He's already done enough. He has no time for you. Don't turn around, just stand your ground. Don't you lose your faith. Look him right in the eye and say, God will make a way.
Well, the answer's on its way. God is not ignoring you, though it seems he's running late. Stay on your knees and just believe that he does all things well. It won't be long and you'll join that song, my God.
Tonight, please, the book of 1 John, chapter 1. First John, chapter 1, please. Tonight, I was going to preach on the love of God since the Bears got smashed. I want to preach on hell this evening. That's why should anybody else enjoy their night? 1 John, chapter 1 this evening. We even have Packer fans in this church. Can you believe that? There he is. Stand up. Where are you at? Yeah, go ahead, brother. Thank you. Just throw these men in the parking lot. That's head first. Yeah, that's good. In the scheme of things, football really doesn't matter, does it? Not at all, until we start winning. 1 John chapter 1, please. Verse 5. 1 John chapter 1 at verse number 5, please. And as you find that and are able, would you stand tonight? Let me say again, what a blessing, what a privilege it is for me to be here, to stand. Is this thing on, guys? Okay. To stand in this pulpit and preach where your pastor preaches week in and week out. I know the Bible says the prophet is not without honor save in his own country. And we get used to listening to a preacher, especially someone who's been faithful for decades. And if we're not careful, you know, there'll come a day when he will no longer be the pastor of this church. I retired this month. Someday that will probably take place here when he's probably 90, 95, something like that. But believe me, nothing ever stays the same in those areas, so appreciate him for his faithfulness. And then Faith Baptist, look at me. Thank you for your faithfulness to God. I was watching today, as is any good church, in a given Sunday, the place is just a honeycomb of activity and people working in ministries and working with folks. Thank you. You know, the quality of a good church is you have to have a great God. You have to have a great book. Well, we have that. We have a great book. Got to have a great man of God and great staff. But you have to have people. You got to have great people. If you don't have great folks who get behind that and do what they do and labor and do the week in and week out stuff that's necessary, then you can't have a good church like this. So thank you. Thank you for what you mean to this area. Thank you for what you mean to the state of Illinois. And no, we do not want your governor. We already have a worthless governor. We don't need another one. But thank you for that. Thank you for what you mean to America and, of course, to the cause of Christ around this world. I hope you get that. I mean, honestly, I hope you see the the fulfillment and the filling of the vision of what God means to be to do through a local New Testament church. And you're such a vital part of that. And I preach a little bit in churches, and it's always a blessing to come to a church like this and see the activity of a church and what God's doing and what people are allowing themselves to do. And I was looking at your faces tonight. I think sometimes preachers don't realize, you dear folks, you work your Monday through Friday. If you're a mom, you work your Monday through Monday, through Monday through Monday, through Monday through Monday. One Mother's Day, I found out what it would cost to hire someone to do what a mom does for a family. You don't even want to know what that is. It's unbelievable. And then you give your Sunday to the Lord and to the work. Now, it's not a sacrifice. Let's not, you know, feel like we need pity. We don't need pity. But it is a commitment. And I was watching you, looking at you tonight, thinking, these dear folks work hard all week. Their Sunday is church, Saturday's involvement with church, and then tomorrow morning, get up, put the harness on, and get the day done and the work done, and it just blesses me. And I'm thankful for you, and I appreciate you tonight. Now, unfortunately, I'm going to rip your hide off, but that was something to be nice to say to get there. No, I'm not going to do that. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. Guest preachers never do that. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My Father, tonight, help us this evening. Holy Spirit of God, settle upon this preacher, but more importantly, settle upon this room. May each of us tonight draw a bit of a circle around ourselves and say, God, do something inside that circle. And help us tonight to appreciate a doctrine we've all held and known to be true, but to hold it so gently, so carefully in our hands. And may we receive tonight from the Word of God and the Spirit of God what you design and desire for each one. Bless, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We believe in once saved, always saved. Is that right, church? Amen. Good. Once saved, always saved. See, here's the problem. People believe today, many people believe that salvation and the security of the believer are two separate doctrines, when in fact, salvation and the security of the believer are the same doctrine. Now, you better listen to this preacher very carefully tonight. You better be very careful when someone says, well, I believe in salvation based by grace through faith, but if you don't live right, you lose it. You better be very careful about that. I lead a lot of people to Christ who are set under that kind of doctrine and teaching, who've gotten works into their salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You put works at any point of salvation, and you'll go straight to hell when you die. No, salvation's all of God, all of gift, and all of grace, every bit of it. And the eternal security of the believer is just taught throughout the Word of God. You just read a verse that taught you that, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from what? Call, say it like Baptist now. Cleanses us from what? All sin. That means when you got saved, Jesus Christ cleansed you from the power and penalty and punishment of your all of it. Sin you haven't even committed yet is paid for. That's the eternal security of the believer. And if you ever wonder about that, you need to get in your book and research that out a little bit more carefully. But the doctrine of eternal security helps us to understand that once I trust Christ as my Savior, I am kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed at the last time. Where I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. When the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And it was predestined, not Calvinism, predestined that when you trust Christ, you will get saved. That means when you trust Christ, you will get saved. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Fascinating. Justification, the act by which you trust Christ, you are justified in the sight of God. Glorification, the act whereby God raises you and glorifies you for heaven. If you are justified, you will be glorified. There's nothing in the middle of that, because once saved, you will be glorified, eternal security of the believer. The whole idea that you could lose salvation, I heard a preacher say years ago, do you believe you could lose your salvation? He said, yes, but I can't lose the one God gave me. Let's get that straight. Is it salvation, all of God, all of gift, and all of grace? Now be very careful tonight. Listen to me. You better be very careful tonight. I believe a person can come to know Christ as their Savior, be taught the false doctrine that you can lose your salvation, and they're still secure because they got saved by grace through faith. But you can't sit under that kind of preaching and listen to someone tell you that you trust Christ, but then you got to work it out. You got to work it down. You got to work out your salvation. You put works into salvation, you send a person straight to hell. So the idea of eternal security isn't just agreeing about eternal security. It is agreeing what salvation really is. And if we could, by the way, if we could just get the concept, and I don't know if you could ever grasp the full concept of salvation. Isaiah 12 says, we'll draw water from the wells of salvation. It's fascinating. You want to start talking about last days and, you know, who's the Antichrist and all that kind of stuff. People get all excited about that. You say, I'm preaching 2 months every Sunday on the doctrine of salvation, and Baptists are out there yawning. And the truth of the matter is that's where most people's doctrine is attacked. That's why the number one convert to Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons are Baptists, because we don't understand the doctrine of salvation, the fullness of that doctrine. And it won't just be a doctrinal thing for you. It'll be something where you'll come out of that appreciating the amazing grace of God and how incredible it is that he would give us salvation of that unspeakable gift. Once saved, always saved. But you see, I find that there are times, and maybe this is just me tonight, and I'll preach just to myself for a minute. There are times when I know that I'm eternally secure, and yet I sin anyway. And I want to talk to you tonight about sinning against your security. Nothing changes the fact that once you're saved, you're saved. Are we clear? Are we clear about that? Yet we who know we are eternally secure, we who know that you cannot undo the work of grace, I find people like us will sin against the security of our salvation. In your Bible, stay with me tonight in verse chapter 1 and verse number 6. Can you see how we sin against our security? Look what it says. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We sin against our security because we sin against fellowship with God. Your relationship is secure. You're a child of God. You are saved. You can't undo that work. There's no place in the Bible after we're told to be born again where you can be unborn. There's no place in the Bible like that. So my relationship is secure. The moment in simple repentance of faith, you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The relationship you have is secure. That's your eternal security. But your fellowship is not. But wait a minute, we know that. We know Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Why do you think he put 1 John 1, 9 in the Bible? Because we know, look at me, we know our salvation is secure and our relationship is. And we also know that when I sin, it affects my fellowship with God. And yet we sin anyway. And do you know why? Because we do not value fellowship with God. Not like our relationship with Him. We don't value that fellowship with Him, that day by day walk with Him. See, we just think, well, yeah, but I know I've sinned, but then see, I'll get right with God and everything will be okay. And you can get right with God and everything will be okay. But why isn't we don't think of that before we sin? Why is it that doesn't cross our minds? I'm eternally secure. You cannot tell me any person in this room that's been saved for very long has not come to that place in their life when tempted to sin of a thought or an act in their life didn't think, well, I'm still saved. And we didn't treasure fellowship with Him. Would God tonight we treasured our fellowship with God. Would God tonight we saw how valuable that is to us, how precious that is to us. Would God we realize that God will not turn His back on us until we turn our back on Him. And then we realize something, ladies and gentlemen. I'm still His child, but I have severed the closeness I had with God. People who are trying to keep their salvation are serving out of desire for themselves. Baptists who serve with being eternally secure, they literally live their lives because they want to please Him. But then when this thing of sin comes, a thought in the mind, in our minds, an act, something that we do, look at, see, think, or whatever, we who know we're eternally secure also know if I sin, I sever my fellowship with God. Well, then I just get right with God. That's right. But wait a minute. Why don't we treasure not severing fellowship? See, only eternally secure people can sin against fellowship with God. Because we keep our relationship secure. No, you don't. God keeps your relationship secure. But you have to keep your fellowship secure. You have to treasure that time. And when it comes down to a choice of sin or Savior, our desire should be to turn to Him. And say, but God, I don't want to do anything that harms our fellowship. I don't want to do anything that comes between you and me. The story is told when Charles Spurgeon was the pastor of the largest church in the world. His sermons were put on the front page of every newspaper in the world. You came to the tabernacle on Sunday morning. They gave you a ticket. You weren't allowed to come back on Sunday night. Thousands and thousands of people would come to listen to Spurgeon. Middle 1800s, London, England, he and a friend were walking down the street one day, and as they came to a street corner to cross the street, and crossing the street in those days could cost you your life. Carts and wagons and horses and things just flying up and down the streets, and so you just took your life in your hand just to cross the street, and Spurgeon and this man were walking along, and as they got to the corner, the guy was looking this way and that, and he hurried across the street, got to the other side, and turned around, and in horror, there's Spurgeon standing in the middle of the road with his hat off and his head bowed. And the man was shocked, and he went to yell his name, but it was so noisy, he just watched Spurgeon. He only stood for a few moments with his head bowed, hat off, and then he put his hat back on his head, and he walked back across the street. And the man said, Mr. Spurgeon, what are you doing? You're standing in the middle of the road. You could have been killed. And Spurgeon said, friend, as I crossed the street, a cloud came between me and my God, and something wasn't right. And I refused to take another step until I knew it was. No, we're secure. Yeah, thank God for security. We're secure. You are a child of God. Always have been. Excuse me, at salvation, you are a child of God. Always will be. Amazing. How much of our day-to-day lives do we just go along with no real fellowship with God because we sin against our fellowship. Would God we treasured it. Would God we treasured it more than our iPhones. Would God we treasured it more than our bank accounts. Would God we treasured it more than our loved ones and our families. Would God we treasured it more than anything else on this planet. And when it came time to sin, we thought, you know, I'm saved, secure, and I could sin, but I don't want to because I don't want to hinder my fellowship with my God. I don't want a cloud to pass between us, God. I don't want anything to come between us, dear Lord. I want nothing between my soul and my Savior. I just want to be right with you. Sinning against our security is sinning against our fellowship. Look at verse number 9. If we confess our sins, he is, what's the next word, church? We sin against faithfulness of God. You know, the word fidelity comes to mind, and the word fidelity in the Bible has two parts to it. One end and the other end. God's side, my side. Well, he is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. He is faithful. Bible said, when we believe not, 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, when we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. But then, of course, we expect God to be faithful because he's God. But he expects us to be the same. You read the book of Hosea in your Minor Prophets, how God came to the prophet Hosea and said, Hosea, I want you to marry this woman, and she's going to be unfaithful to you, but I want you to marry her. Her name was Gomer. No, it wasn't Indian Opie and those guys. It's Gomer. And he marries her. And then Hosea is one of those prophets who stands on the corner and preaches repentance to Israel because they've turned from God. Hosea's on one street corner, and he's preaching for Israel to turn back to God. And on the other corner is Hosea's wife as she goes off with another man, and then another man, and then another man. Sometime later, after a while, years would pass. Sometimes later, she could no longer find a lover, as the Bible says, to go with her. So she began to sell herself like a prostitute on the street corners. She's on one corner, a whore, and he's on the other corner, a man of God preaching. And people are looking at this going, you do see this. Years would pass and she became broken down in her health and her life. She could no longer sell herself. So then she was taken to a slave market and sold as an auction slave, a broken down woman. And God came to Hosea and said, Hosea, go buy her. Go buy her back. And tell her you're coming home to me now. And you're going to be my faithful wife and you're going to return to me. Hosea went down to the marketplace and he bought her. He took her home. Then Hosea goes back to the corner to preach again and people say, what are you doing? How could you be faithful to a woman who is so unfaithful to you? And Hosea said, that is what we do to God. He stays faithful when we're not. He remains faithful when we do not. He still loves us. He still wants us back. But we're secure. We have our security. I'm not mocking security. I'm not belittling security. I'm not denigrating security. I'm just simply saying we know a God who is faithful, ladies and gentlemen. He's there for you. He's the only one who'll always be there for us. But what do we do? You say, well, after all, I'm a child of God. And just like that, the most tragic things of ministry is to sit with a couple and one of them has been unfaithful to the other. And watch the destruction and the hurt on the face of the one who's been wronged. And I think, how can you hurt your loved one like that? Why would you do that? And in heaven tonight, we have the most amazing God who is so faithful to us. He's the Father who's watching the horizon for the prodigal to come home. That parable, very simple parable. He's the Father watching the horizon. How did he know it was his son when he was yet a gray way off? Because he knew the footfall of his son. But he went there every day looking for his boy to come home. That's our Father. That's us. When we turn away from God, when God would come up out of that hog pen and say, I will arise and go unto my Father and say, I have sinned against thee, Father. I don't deserve to live in your house anymore. And when God, we wouldn't even go to the hog pen. We sin against the faithfulness of God because he is faithful. And we sin, number three, we sin against the forgiveness of God. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Ah, there it is. I remember as a boy in public school, when Friday would come around and my Catholic buddies and I would go to the dining hall, the chow hall, what's what we call it, the military, the lunchroom for lunch on Friday. And on Friday, it used to be Catholics couldn't eat meat on Friday. I don't know if you know Catholics are here or not. I'm not a Catholic. I wouldn't be Catholic just for that, but anyway. Standing in line with a buddy of mine, Catholic buddy, and every Friday in the dining hall, the lunchroom, they had hamburgers, fish sticks, and fish sticks for the Catholics. I'm standing in line with my buddy, and you give her a little quarter. That's when you could actually buy food for a quarter. And, yeah, Abraham Lincoln was behind me. Shut up. Anyway, so he pops his quarter. He gets a hamburger and puts it on the tray. I go, hey, fish sticks, bro. You can't eat meat on Friday. He goes, hey, look, I'll eat meat today. I'll go to confession tomorrow. Swami salami, all you boys in the army, get off the grass. And it's good. I go, man, no guilt? Nothing? Nope. I thought, that's the only time I even came that close to being a Catholic. Wow, you mean you could just, hey, you could just go in there, hey, with no concern, no care, no conviction, nothing. You just go in a phone booth and tell some guy dressing like a mother and calls himself a father what you did, and that guy goes, and it's done? You don't even have to, you don't have to confess squat. You just go in there? You got to be kidding me. I thought, that, what kind of a religion is that? What kind of Baptist are we when we know we're about to do something wrong? And in our minds, our hearts, we think, yeah, but I'll just ask for forgiveness. Oh, God in heaven. We just take for granted the forgiveness of God. We just say, oh, well, after all, I'll do that. But you know what? I can go to God and be forgiven. And you want to know something? He will. That's the amazing thing about it. Maybe if he just made it more difficult. Maybe he just put there 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 10. But you got to crawl through glass. And you got to beg. And you got to be sorrow. And you got to weep. And you got to carry on. Nope. It just simply says he is faithful. That means he always will. Just, that means if he forgives anybody, he'll forgive you. Oh, we know it all. We've seen it. We've heard it a million times over, ladies and gentlemen. How many times in our lives we've abused the faithfulness and the forgiveness of our God because we know we're eternally secure and we can just get our slate wiped clean. We're no better than a bunch of Catholics. I'm not chewing on the Catholic people. I have no disrespect to Catholic people whatsoever. I have no use for the Pope or their doctrine. It's damnable heresy. But irrespective of all that, don't get woke on me, ladies and gentlemen. Some of you need to wake up anyhow, but don't get woke on me. The bottom line is this: how often are we just like those folk? Just go in there, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. You know, Hail Mary, full of grace, help this guy in his place. Not too fast, not too slow. Come on, Mary, go, boom. And you walk out that place. That's pretty good, huh? You walk out of that place like it doesn't mean anything. Just like us. Yeah, but he'll forgive me. You know what? Yeah, he will. And you just sinned against the forgiveness of God. So then he won't forgive. Nope, he'll still forgive you. That's the thing that just... The eternal security of the believer is not license for sin or license for indifference or license to say, well, you could just go out. People say, well, then you believe that you could go out and kill somebody. Well, no. Even though there are people who need killing. You know it's true. Don't look at me like that, you Pharisee. Yes, there are. Those people standing in line at Walmart, 20 items left with 4 shopping carts and a pocket full of tags, psh, drop them like third period French. I mean, come on. Those people who live in their own little world and you have to revolve around their universe. Huh? Are you with me? You know how hard it is to get on an airplane nowadays with how rude people are? Okay. I'm pausing to pray. I hate cats. I do. I never believed God make a mistake till I saw a cat. I hate cats. I'm sitting in an airport one day with my wife waiting to get on the plane at the gate. And there's a guy with a cat on a leash. First of all, that dude needs a hormone check. There is no question about that. And I said, I told him, I said, is there a cat? The guy's got a cat. That, any dog under 50 pounds is not worth having either. But anyway, that's all another subject. Yeah, go ahead and look at me like that. I forgive you. And she said, oh, honey, I go, man, I hope he's getting on a different airplane, honestly. We get on the plane. Who's sitting across the aisle from me? Cat boy. Not on the plane, across the aisle from me, on the plane. Say, what's your point? Nothing. I just wanted you to know I hate cats. That's. People are so rude. They think everybody likes dogs. I do like dogs, but I don't like everybody's dog. Nowadays, people can't go anywhere without their dog. Guy got on a dog that it wasn't even a dog, it was a horse. It was a dog, but it was a horse. Now they tell us that they have them for medical reasons and that kind of stuff to help them calm them down. A man comes to one of our funerals one day from representing the veterans of foreign wars. He was a World War II veteran carrying a dog that wouldn't even be a mouthful in a pit bull. Little fuzzy thing with a real ribbon on his head. Veteran of foreign war. He started going out of charge. I go, oh, bro, what are you doing? He goes, well, this is my service dog. I said, what do you need that for? He goes, well, I get nervous. The dog helps calm me down. Some of you looking at me like, he doesn't understand. No, you don't understand. So they're telling us now that dogs are acceptable in that way. And one other animal is acceptable now as a service animal because some people are allergic to dog hair. You know what it is? It's a horse. Somebody in my town was in a restaurant the other day, and a guy was standing at the register at a restaurant with a horse. I said a horse. I said a horse. Fortunately, it was a small horse and not a Clydesdale, but it was a horse. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. So you... Now, don't go out today and get a horse to bring it to church, okay? Just don't do that. But people today, everyone expects you to come their direction, do what, and you're supposed, everybody's got rights except those of us who don't have honor the rights they have. The most tolerant bunch on the planet are the most intolerant people I know. Yeah, that's the world in which we live. So here we are, eternally secure, kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed at the last time. And they say, well, then why don't you go out and sin? Why don't you ask us this question? Then why didn't we go out and sin? You realize your security is given you so you can actually express your love to God in the purest form that you could imagine. Someone who's trying to earn the favor of God is getting it for their benefit. You who are eternally secure and you can't do a thing to change the fact that God loves you and you're saved, you can actually be free to say, God, I'm going to do this just for you. I'm going to go to church just for you. So parents, when your kid says, do we have to go to church tonight? You look at him and go, nope, we get to go to church tonight. Change your vocabulary, change your mentality. That's the way it ought to be with us. Our attitude should be, dear Lord, you know what? I am saved, secure, kept by the power of God. I want to resist sin. I want to say yes to God. I want to yield to the Holy Spirit of God. I want fellowship with you, Father. I want my fellowship unfettered, unhindered, restricted in what I am with you. God, I just want pure fellowship with God. And I just want to be as faithful to you as you are to me. And Father, please, if I do come to you for forgiveness, please forgive me and help me to be cleansed from all unrighteousness and go on and be what I need to be. We sin against our security. Stand to your feet, please, tonight. God gave us forgiveness, faithful and just, to be used, not abused. My little children, these things write unto you, that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Okay, so the question would have to be tonight, and then at the beginning of this message, did the Spirit of God point out to you that in reality you've got some kind of works in your salvation. You really do think how you live affects whether or not you are saved. Then, my friend, you have works in your salvation. I said you have works in your salvation. I said you have works in your salvation. You must repent of that and trust Christ and get saved. Most definitely. So, well, I'm clear on that, Pastor. I know I'm saved. I've trusted Christ. I know. Good, good. Could you say tonight that you never sin against that security? Because you know fellowship will be restored as soon as you're forgiven. You know he's still going to be faithful. God, help us tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray your blessings on this invitation moment. We need a touch from God in this area, my Father. So we'll not take for granted your grace, your mercies, your goodness, your power that keeps us saved. But we do not neglect nor abuse what you have given us by being your child and secure in that relationship. Help us value fellowship tonight, Father. Help us treasure your faithfulness. And help us not neglect and abuse the forgiveness you've offered us. Bless tonight this invitation moment, I pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Ladies, would you play? Let us yield to the Lord this evening, would you?